Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13. This is a good verse. And it's really appropriate for us as Christians. Look what it says, Proverbs 15, 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. It's a very simple proverb, but listen. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. So today we're going to look at the merry heart and the sorrowful heart and see what we can find here. Now, for the most part, God wants us as Christians to have a merry heart. I mean, think about it. If it comes from the heart and it shows up on the countenance, it's real. It's not plastered. It's not fake. I remember there was a time years ago when I was in the ministry, a friend of mine said, "You need to smile more." So I pasted a smile on my face and my wife saw that And she said to me, "If you got to fake it that bad, don't do it at all." You know, because it was plastic. In other words, if it doesn't come from the heart, it is not a cheerful countenance. It's just a plastic smile. But once that heart is merry, that countenance becomes cheerful, and you can't hide it, you see. And I believe God wants us to have a merry heart. In Galatians chapter 5, when we read of the fruit of the Spirit, we read that the fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, I'll tell you, to love and to be loved certainly cheers the heart. And you watch a young couple, and you see them when they're in love, and you see on their faces a very cheerful countenance. Joy, well, joy certainly down in the heart is always going to make for a cheerful countenance. Peace. You know, our world longs for peace, and the Bible says, "There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked." And they don't realize that peace comes from salvation and then from the filling of the Holy Spirit. But that peace puts such a restful, cheerful countenance on a face. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those things in the heart from the presence of the Holy Spirit would definitely make a cheerful countenance. And I believe when the Lord wants us to have the fruit of the Spirit, that He intends for that to affect our heart in such a way that our countenance is cheerful. Because a cheerful countenance is, it's contagious. When people see that your countenance is cheerful because you're a saved person, it has an effect. It causes people to respond to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in you. They want that for themselves. It's effective. Look over here in 2 Corinthians. You know, we've learned and heard many times before, because a lot of preachers preach on giving, that God loveth a cheerful giver. But notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, well before that verse shows up, that there was a joy in Macedonia in a trial of affliction. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in verses 1 and 2, the churches of Macedonia decided to take up an offering for the poor saints, and they went through a great trial of affliction. And verse 2 of 2 Corinthians 8 says how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Notice, they had an abundance of joy in that great trial. Oh, I think God's pleased with that. I think God's pleased when our faces radiate with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and the filling of the Holy Spirit inside of us, in spite of the circumstances in which we find ourselves. Look again in Acts chapter 8 at what happened when the early church was beginning to spread out of Jerusalem, not voluntarily. In Acts chapter 8, there was persecution. In Acts chapter 8, Stephen has just died in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 8, verse 1, Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Stephen was buried. Saul made havoc of the church in verse 3. They were scattered abroad, verse 4. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. The people with one accord in verse 6 gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Philip was run out of Jerusalem because of persecution, and because of a havoc in the church, and because people were imprisoned, and found some Samaritans down there with whom the Jews were not to have any dealings, and led some of them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the result of that preaching of the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit and getting rid of some of these problems that were there, these healings and these unclean spirits, caused great joy in that city. Great joy in that city. Well, what is that? You're not going to hide that. That's a merry heart. And a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. You know, honestly, Sam Jones Sr. said something that I believe is very, very important. And I'm so excited about this text, I find myself just rushing into this because I know as much as anything, Christians today need a merry heart that translates to a cheerful countenance. I mean, we just need that. Sam Jones, a famous preacher, not at the turn of our recent century, but between 1800 and 1900, that century. Sam Jones was a great preacher. I've got several of his works in publication here in my library. Love to read his stuff. He was one of those guys that would get right in your face. I don't think you could preach much the same way as he did. People wouldn't stand for some of the very direct comments that he made. But I'll tell you one thing that he said that stuck out in my mind that is just absolutely true. And I love it. He said, I believe the devil can do more damage in Christianity by putting a frown on a Christian's face than he could by putting a case of whiskey on the steeple. I believe that. I believe that. The devil will do more damage by putting a frown on your face than he will by putting a case of whiskey on your steeple. Christians ought to have a cheerful countenance. That thing is contagious. People will see it and know that your religion is real. And when they see that Christ is in there and they don't have that type of merry heart, they'll want that. They'll want it because it's real. You'll argue doctrine, and you'll argue Bibles and all that other stuff, but man, nobody can argue with the real cheerful countenance and a merry heart that comes solely by the presence of the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ in that heart. The merry heart will put a smile on your face and a joy in your countenance that will cheer the brokenhearted and spread the love of God. We need it. We need it. But you know something? As much as we need a merry heart, this Bible verse goes on to say, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. And you know, there are some real benefits. There are some real benefits of a sorrowful heart. We should have godly sorrow in repentance and a broken and contrite spirit to bring us to God. That's right. We really should. The Bible says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And when sorrow over your sin makes your heart sorrowful and causes your spirit to break, God will draw nigh to you. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. I look back on the broken spirit of repentance that came to me in September of 1986, and I thank God for the change. I thank God for His saving grace. I thank you, Jesus, what you did in my heart, what you did in my mind, what you did in my soul, as I broke over the condition of my life. Man, I'll tell you what, that right there has done me more good than anything else. The brokenness of that sorrowful heart led me to a repentance that I never want to go back through again. And I'll tell you then, after you go through something like that, after you get saved and turn from the things from which you need to repent, it's time for you to have a merry heart. It really is. Now listen, look over here. Look over here in 2 Corinthians. Look how this godly sorrow works. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Now look how this thing, look how this looks. It's wonderful. All right, for godly sorrow, you see that? Sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Now, there are a lot of people today that are walking around with a sorrowful heart. It's the sorrow of the world, and that thing will work death. But when godly sorrow comes, it will work repentance, and when you get saved, it'll wipe that sorrow out of your heart and bring you to a place of joy. It's real. So after you get saved and turn from the things from which you need to repent, it's time for a merry heart. Why? Why should you be happy? Well, you ought to be happy for salvation. You come through a broken experience. Listen, how many times have we dealt with folks that were deep in sin, and they got saved? I watched them, man, just weep over their sin and then rejoice when they got saved. I remember a fellow one time, it was time for him to get saved. We'd preached the gospel. He was under heavy conviction. I asked him to pray on his own. He stooped over in his chair. He was sitting next to me, or across from me, actually, and he stooped over in his chair and began to pray. And, you know, he was a little bit embarrassed. People generally are praying in front of the preacher. They think, you know, we got to pray just right or something like that. And that guy, you know, got over that pretty quickly and then just began to weep. I'm telling you, he soaked the carpet. When I say soaked the carpet, there were enough tears that fell on the carpet. You could see the spots, you see, in the carpet down there by his feet. He was weeping. What was he weeping? Over his sin. Over the condition of his life, over the brokenness of his heart. 15 minutes he bowed there and just wept. And then after he wept and the time passed, I didn't want to rush him. He was dealing with something, and I asked him if he needed any help, and he said no, he just needed time. And then after that he began to pray, and he prayed, and I'll tell you, it was one of the finest prayers of salvation you'll ever want to hear prayed. Nobody could write it and pray it for anybody else. It was his. And man, when he came out of that sorrowful heart, God saved his soul. And I'm telling you, it wasn't long and you saw a change in countenance. What happened? God put a merry heart in there. Let me tell you, when you get saved, it'll put a smile on your face. Remember what happened when the prodigal son came home in Luke chapter 15? The father said, that's a picture of the Lord, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. And I'll tell you, after you're saved, you're merry, and then if you'll go right away and get others like this prodigal son and lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you know what'll happen? That merry heart in you will continue like this father saw his son return to Jesus. Your heart will be cheered by the fact that other sons are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing that happened to me after the change in September of 1986 is that I began to be burdened for the lost, and it wasn't my own burden. I was listening to good preaching, and the man kept reminding me of my need to talk to others about Jesus Christ, and I began to want to see souls saved. And you know something? To this day, I have not gotten over the joy that comes when seeing a new child of God come to Jesus. It's just the most beautiful thing. It's like the birth of a brand new baby in your own family. It's lovely, and it puts a merry heart in there, and that thing makes a cheerful countenance, and when others see that, they want to get saved. You've got a reason to thank God because of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. You say, why else should you be merry? You ought to be merry because of God's goodness. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 10, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 10, they had a big, big feast because of the building of the temple. I believe that'd be the spot, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. And there was a great time of rejoicing. Solomon had made an end of praying in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. And the priest couldn't enter into the temple because of the glory of the Lord that was there. And then Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep in verse 5. And then you get down there to verse 10 after the dedication of the temple and all on the 23rd day of the 7th month. So they've been celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. He sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart. Why? For the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel his people. Hadn't God been good to you? Hadn't God been good to you? You know, I'll tell you what. God's been sure good to me. God's been good to our family. God's been good to this church. God's been good to my friends. God's been really good. God's a good God. I'll tell you, I've met some folks recently, and I'm telling you honestly, they have gotten true affliction as saints of God. They've seen some real trouble in their lives. Real problems. Problems I won't discuss with you on the air, but I mean they've seen some real problems in their lives. And I'll tell you, that thing brought them low and brought them to a place of brokenness and brought them to a place of sorrow and sadness. And over time, God ministered his grace, his goodness, his love to them. And slowly but surely, they came up out of the affliction, out of the trial, out of the trouble they were in. And today, to look at them, you would not know on your best day, and you would not know on your worst day, that they had ever had a bad day in their lives. You wouldn't know it. I know what happened. You don't know. You wouldn't know it. You would not know it. You wouldn't believe it if I told you what it was. They've been through so much more than I've ever been through. Lord willing, I won't go through what they've been through. I don't think I could be the champion that they've been going through this kind of stuff that they've gone through. But you know what it's a testimony to? It's a testimony to the goodness of God. And the reason that they walk in and that we see them with a smile on their face is because of God's goodness. God's been good to them. And they know it. And it's made a merry heart, and they can't hide it on their countenance. Their faces rejoice with the joy of the presence of God within. It's contagious. It's contagious. I'll tell you what. If I ever do go through something like they've been through before, I'm going to call them. I'm going to ask them to pray for me. Because to wear that countenance from a real merry heart has told me God's done a work in there, and I believe in the ministry of consolation, they could minister to me in a way that I couldn't minister to others. They've been through it. Now tell me something. Hadn't God been good to you? He hadn't put you through what some of these folks have been through. People always say, you know, if you want to kind of cheer yourself up when you're down, just look around. You'll find somebody else that's in worse shape than you're in. Hadn't God been good to you? I'll tell you, we have a tendency to get so mopey over the littlest things, and God's done such huge things for you. Are your children saved? Do you have a little bit of money in the bank? Did you eat a meal today? Did you get any kind of rest last night when you slept? Do you have a job? How about your car? Is it running? Doesn't care what it looks like. Does it run? Does it get you from place to place? How about that? Do you have any kind of health at all? Can you get around? I know a fella up in Ohio. He goes out soul-winning if he's still alive. It takes him 3 hours to get him out of his bed, put him in the kind of wheelchair, bed-ish type contraption that he gets in when he leaves the house. They've got to move other kinds of things with him. It takes 3 hours to get him set up. They drive him downtown, and he'll sit there in his gets kind of a reclining chair. He'll sit and lie there with tracks in his fingers. Even his hands have lacked a lot of motion. He can move two of his fingers, and his index finger and the next one to it. And they put a track in there like that, and people will pass by, and they'll be sorry for him, of course. And he'll kind of look up and smile with his feeble voice, and he'll say, "Can I tell you about the love of Jesus?" With such a radiating smile on his face, it would break your heart. "Can I tell you about the love of Jesus?" And you say to me, you don't have the time, you don't have the whatever to be able to talk to somebody else and let the merriment of the heart of God in you shine through your face to at least have an influence on somebody else's life to cheer them up. And here this guy takes him 3 hours to get out of bed so he can go show the love of Jesus in his city to folks that pass by. Oh, I'm telling you, God's a good God. You can thank him. You can thank him for his goodness. Because I rather imagine that you don't have to go through as much of an ordeal as he does in order to be able to talk to others about Christ. You say, you know something, that's bringing me under a lot of conviction. Yes, it is. It's bringing me under a lot of conviction. We oughtn't to walk around with a mopey face. There's no reason for it. Now, one of the best ways for us to express our merry heart is through singing. James chapter 5 verse 13 says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." Well, there you go. Singing that melody in your heart, that'll get you. You know what happened to me Monday? Sunday evening, I'd been listening to some really neat songs, some beautiful, beautiful work that people have done in the last several years. Beautiful songs, beautiful Bible songs, man. Draw you right into the text. Things about Mephibosheth and things about the city of refuge. And the lighthouse, oh man, stuff just thrill your soul about the work of God. And listen to those songs like that that were being sung on that CD. I went to bed Sunday night, and I happened to wake up at 4:30 on Monday morning. Now, I wasn't ready to get out of bed. I wasn't fully rested. I just lay there in bed, sort of in and out of sleep. You know how you'll doze sometimes for the next couple hours? I lay there, and you know, all that went through my head for 2 solid hours were those hymns, were those songs. And I'm telling you, man, that was such a glorious thing that happened to me, because it hasn't always been like that. Boy, there are a lot of other things that will go through the head, you know, in your dreams. But to have those songs going through there, I woke up, man, I was just real happy for the Lord. That's one of the greatest ways for us to be able to express that merriment of our heart is to praise the Lord with singing. You can tell when people are really happy in the Lord. You go and watch them at church, and if they're all dull and can't smile and that kind of stuff, well, you sort of wonder what's going on inside. But boy, when God's in there, man, whew, that old count, you can't hide it. You can't hide it. It shows up on the face. Now, what's the benefit of a merry heart? Why should we have one? A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Does it do anything else for us? Yeah, to heal you. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. You know, I know Christians that fight with depression, and I'm sorry for them, because sometimes when you allow yourself to get into that kind of depression, your chemicals in your body get whacked out, and then it's hard for you to ever pull out of it. But you know what that Bible says? That Bible says if you want to get well, the best thing to do is have a merry heart. And a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Sam Jones, I told you earlier, said, you know, the thing about putting a frown on a Christian face. Oh, Sam Jones also said something else. Next to his Bible, the thing that got him through life was a good sense of humor. That's right. A good sense of humor. You ought to be able to laugh at yourself. You know what happens? You get depressed. You start taking yourself too seriously. People say things that upset you, and you take the stuff to heart. And you bear it on your shoulder there. And what do they say? You wear your emotions on your sleeve. And you're so sensitive to every little thing that's said, and all of these things upset you so. And so you get depressed, and the more you get depressed, the more you're a sponge for things that depress you. And down you go. And it's such a sad thing. You ought to have a good sense of humor about life, and you ought to have a good sense of humor about yourself and not take yourself so seriously. You know, they said, and I believe it's so, if you don't laugh at yourself, you leave the job to somebody else. You ought to learn to laugh at yourself. We do silly things. We're goofy, I mean, in this human nature, and we just pride ourselves on doing things to the perfection and get so upset when people criticize us. But you know, really and truly, we ought to laugh at ourselves. We ought to laugh at ourselves. We ought to laugh at things that really are funny. We ought to enjoy our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? It'll heal your body. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You know, I know a fellow, and I've known him for years. He's much older than I am, and his poor old body, nearly every piece of it's been replaced. I'm serious. The knees, the shoulders, the hips, who knows what else, internal organs. I don't know what all he's had transplanted. It's amazing. And I am telling you, every time that I've run across that man, no matter where it is and under what circumstances it is, that fella always wears a smile on his face. Got saved when he was 12 years old in a protracted meeting in Cuero, Texas. That's right. Preacher came in and preached for 2 weeks, and he got saved, and the things never wore off. And he's had everything inside of him replaced once. And he just goes through with a cheeriest countenance. He just holds his head up and rejoices over every little thing. And you say, my, what a thing. Yeah, it's gotten him through all those difficulties that he's been through medically. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You ought to go with that. That's one of the reasons to have one. What else will a merry heart do for you? Will it give you a continual feast? Proverbs 15:15 says, all the days of the afflicted are evil. They never get better. But he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Don't you like a feast? I love a feast. I like the fellowship. I like the food. I like the celebration. I like the whole thing. Dinner on the grounds. I like that. But you know, we don't always get to do that. But if you've got a merry heart, the Bible says you have a continual feast. When you sit down to a morsel of bread, it may not be much. It might be all you can afford. You might be on your last dime for the month and still have days to run. And you might sit there and look over that little piece of bread with a little piece of peanut butter on there, a little jelly on there if you're lucky enough to have some of that, and bow your head and say, God, I've got a merry heart, and I pray over this food like it's a feast. Fit for a king. I ask you to bless it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? With a merry heart, that thing will be just as good to you as a filet mignon. The only thing that's changed is the condition of your heart, not the meal. Don't you want to have a continual feast? Have a merry heart? It's a lovely thing. Now, let me just caution you. It may be the day that you've been listening to all this stuff about a merry heart, and you might be saying to yourself, well, I have a merry heart. But let me just caution you. If your merry heart is caused by circumstances of life and the prosperity that you enjoy and the size of your house and the abundance of your possessions, let me tell you something. There's a caution for you. Don't let your merriment damn your soul. You see, in Luke chapter 12, there was a fellow that that, I mean, it's what he was. His life was based on circumstances and possessions. The more he had and the better the circumstances, the happier he was. And he had a bumper crop, and he decided to build bigger barns, and he said to my soul, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." And he went into his retirement age full of merriment because he had been so successful. But God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" And that fellow led a merry heart by the possessions and circumstances of life, a cause him to believe that the prosperity was a picture of the blessing of God, and neglected his soul, and in so doing forsook his salvation, and died a lost man. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. He was a fool. So a merry heart should not deceive you into believing that you're in an all right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ if you've never received him as your Savior. You need to do that. Then I'll tell you, you'll have a merry heart whether you have an abundance of possessions or not. You'll have a merry heart whether the circumstances of life benefit you or not. You'll have a merry heart though they may decide to take your life because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the kind of merry heart I have. That's the kind of merry heart I want to have. One that's permanent, that can go through the joys and go through the afflictions of life the same. The same. And those things are given to us by Jesus Christ. So a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. And Christian, if you're saved today, bless God, from now on you ought to covenant with your face that you are going to set before your Bible and get on your knees and get some joy in your heart, singing psalms from your heart before you walk out that door, so that everybody that's affected by you will be cheered by the countenance that comes from the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, starting with your children and your wife, starting with your children and your husband. They ought to benefit from it more than anybody. And then after that, everybody else that you see. They'll come to you and ask you, "Why are you so happy?" "I'm happy because of what Jesus has done for me." Wouldn't you like to know how Jesus could save you? Oh, what a difference we'd make in this world if we'd allow the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to shine through a merry heart. My prayer for you is that you will. My prayer is that I will.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.